Welcome into Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXCO. Ray Michaels joined by Graham Goodwin, administrator and medic with Audrain Ambulance District. Graham, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for giving up part of your Saturday morning to join us today. And you have been a part of the community healthcare task force that helped make sure Mexico still has a hospital. From a logistics standpoint, how important is that for Audrain Ambulance District?
Okay. I was a latecomer to that because I started as the administrator June 1st of last year. So I've only been administrator here in Audrain for a year, but it's extremely important. One of the things that we do is looking at is the amount of ambulances we need to have on hand at any point in time, and we operate generally with three ambulances in service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That when we look at that, we have to look at how many calls we're going to get within the time and how long those calls are going to take. So when we have a local hospital that is within our community, our turnaround time is really important. And as we look over the years, in 2017, our turnaround time was like 67 minutes. So for the average call, not even considering all the different aspects of it, from when we get dispatched and get canceled all the way till we commute, was like 67 minutes. This year, it's around about 80 minutes. So it has gone up. And the reason why it's gone up is because we have been taking more patients further afield. And the longer we take to clear that ambulance and that service means that it's not available for 911 calls. And so what we look at, so for me, when I look at this, I'm trying to make sure that we provide 911 service, an ambulance service, most of the time. There gets a point where we can't make sure that there's going to be a peak time where we will run out. And we do run out of ambulances occasionally. But generally, and we rely on mutual aid from around our community surrounding us, but so what we're noticing is that the time that ambulances are out of service because they are taking care of someone is increasing, which puts a greater demand on us. We can't afford to put more ambulances on, and so that comes down to the thing is that we're having a more spotty coverage if we have to transport everyone. Right now, we used to transport somewhere in the region of 60, 70% of our patients to Audrain, going back a few years. Right now, we're around 52 from our 911 calls. 52% of them are going to come to the local one. And part of that is because the service is lost. I know that Noble Health is working very hard on trying to increase the services available. They are finding that workforce is one of their biggest issues, I think, is trying to get people in to increase those services. And as they do, then our response time or our turnaround times will start to drop.
Sure.
And therefore, we will be able to get that ambulance back in service quicker and to be prepared for the next person who needs us in their emergency.
Well, and in that the downtime or while you're waiting on a mutual aid ambulance service to come in, that's where your first responders come in very handy.
We are very, very fortunate that we have, Mexico Public Safety, Little Dixie, and other fire departments are really able to step up, and we work very closely with them, and they are a great resource for us.
And I'm sure there's a little bit of cross-training going on between agencies too, right?
Yes, I do believe that we do training. I think it's every third Thursday with Little Dixie every month. And there's a huge turnout. I worked in another county, and I can turn around and say that when we did trainings with the fire department, we didn't quite see as many as that show up. We fill our training room, and it's a pretty large room for training. Here just a couple of weeks back, we had the helicopter from a university come in and do training with the fire department and with the ambulance district. It was really great to work together in that.
Sure, and that's so critical in that golden hour is that everybody works together.
Yes, it's very important that we can come in, take care, stabilize, and get the patient quickly to their destination where they need their treatment.
Sure. What's the makeup of the ambulance district? Is it a board-based or...?
We are a government-based, so we are controlled by a six board members for the district. We have three crews that work 48 hours, and then they're off 96, so 2 days, and 4 days off, generally. That's what they're scheduled for, and then we have a couple in administration.
What is the funding mechanism? Is it all tax-based, or do you get insurance reimbursement, or is it a combination of both?
Okay, so we have a combination that goes into that. We have a sales tax base. We get a half-cent sales tax, and then we also have personal property real estate tax that is adjusted according to the sales tax. What we bring in, a percentage of that has to be rolled back on our personal property and sales tax. So we're approximately about $1 million a year coming through sales tax. If we didn't have the sales tax and with the 30 cent per 100 assessed value on property, we would bring in just over 800,000, but because of the sales tax and the rollback that's required, we bring in around 320 or so thousand from property tax. And then the balance of it, probably around another $1 million or so, is from billing for whatever. If we do some trainings and stuff like that, we'll get a little bit coming back through that. But it's more billing, insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, and then, of course, our self-paid. That's pretty much how we our revenue sources.
Gotcha. And right now you've got a headquarters station in Mexico and a substation east of Mexico. Any plans for additional bases or expanding into the western part of the county?
We have expanding into the western side of the county. We would love to be able to do that. But at this point in time, trying to work at that balance of having ambulances available and the costs of providing those ambulances makes it a little cost prohibitive to do right now. But as call volume increases, we will be looking into that at that point. So right now, I do not see us expanding services for the time being. We work very closely with Boone Hospital EMS to provide the coverage to the western portion of the county.
Very nice. And Medic 131 comes in quite often.
Yes, they do. And we're very glad for them to be there.
Well, and that kind of leads into the next question. You have some temporary part-time positions open right now, right?
We have, basically at this point in time, we have had some issues like everyone has had with COVID, with people being sick and things and stuff like that. And we're going into this position where at this point in time, we have some individuals that are off work and will be returning shortly. In the meantime, we have a lot of open shifts. We're trying to fill with part-time as much as possible because it helps us keep our costs down, because our costs are hard to cut back a lot on in these things, and we're looking at ways to control them, and one of them is to hire part-time. And so part-time paramedics, we're very, particularly paramedics, EMTs, we have quite a few of them. Paramedics fill in the gaps because every ambulance has to have a paramedic for us, and so that makes it a lot easier to fill the shifts and keep the trucks staffed.
Do you see as many people entering the EMS field today as there were, say, 10 years ago?
Nationally speaking, there has been a drop-off of individuals entering the EMS. And there's many reasons as to what they come up with. Some of it is the fact that compared to other professions, EMS is underpaid. Others talk about the increased violence towards first responders and healthcare professionals across the country. They go into situations where they fully don't know what's going to happen at times, and it can get pretty scary. But there's other things. But, you know, when you start looking at this, right, for us, we are trying to balance, and our starting pay rates are getting close to the minimum wage, which keeps going up. And it's going to be harder for us to compete with other professions to draw people into ours with the pay scales that we have right now.
Now, you do have an Explorer program that is, I'm assuming, relatively new.
I think it's been going for a few years now. It was started prior to me being here. It's been going on for a few. I do believe that we have had some who graduated from that program that have gone on to EMT school, and that's the starting entering their field of EMS. And we'll see if they continue on and come back to work for us.
Well, and like if you it. Can hook them young, then that's increasing the longevity.
Yes, it does, because we have a lot of people that are getting older and are probably looking at retirement, and the young people aren't coming up as often. And it's like, okay, so now we've got to work out how we're going to staff them in the future.
So if someone as a paramedic wants to pick up some part-time work, or someone interested in the Explorer program, how should they get a hold of you?
On our website, audreyandambulance.com, there is a portal there that you can apply and submit your resume for applications for employment. The Explorer program, you can probably reach out through that as well. I don't know all the details on that right offhand.
Now, Graham, I noticed a bit of a nice accent as we've been talking. So tell us your story, would you?
Okay. I thought I had the Missouri accent pretty good.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
All right. Okay. So I was originally born in New Zealand, and I grew up there, and I had entered the workforce as a banker and an accountant. I found that accounting was not the job I enjoyed. I am good at accounting. I just didn't like being in the office. And now, look where I'm at.
But you're bringing that accounting background kind of around full circles.
So. It comes in full circles. But anyway, so what I did was I applied to Camp Counselors USA to work in a summer camp in America. I was decided I needed a working holiday, and I came to Eureka, Missouri, to Kiwanis Camp Wyman, to work with inner city youth from the St. Louis, East St. Louis region. Great eye-opener. I learned a lot. I found out a lot, and I also understood that now I speak English, not American, and I'm trying to learn the American words and terms and things like that. So from there, I worked with the inner city youth and in school camp, and then individuals with developmental disabilities. So from that, I went back home for a period of time, and I came back again, and I met a woman and got married, and so I settled in America. And so with my background, I actually entered working with developmentally disabled adults in the residential setting, and then I moved into working at a sheltered workshop where I was the assistant for behavioral medical. So I was helping individuals with disabilities keep their jobs and making sure they were taken care of. That is when I encountered my first cardiac arrest.
Those are never fun to just spontaneously encounter.
I was a first aid CPR instructor. So I had the basics. This was a peanut butter code, and he had a sandwich and choked, and I looked, he was seizing, and I'm going, okay, he's seizing, that's fine, and he never did start breathing again. And so working that is when I realized that I felt inadequate in taking care of that individual. He didn't make it, and we just couldn't get the airway open. So from that, I went on to EMT school in Pike Lincoln Tech in Eolia, where I did my EMT class, and I graduated from that in 1998, in the beginning of that year. And I was looking at that, and I go, I got all these skills. I need to keep them up so I can maintain my license for the state. So I applied part-time for Lincoln County Ambulance District. And they offered me a full-time position. And with a substantial increase from where I was to be an EMT. And so that's where I started as an EMT. In 1999, I became American citizen. And in 2000, I became a paramedic. And had been working at Lincoln County. And going through that, after paramedic, I began teaching. I was the primary EMT instructor for many years there, and added on the continuing education. I became a shift supervisor, and then I moved on to become the chief medical officer at Lincoln County. And In May of last year, I left that position to come work for Audrain Amulets. So this is the second Amulets district that I have worked for. It has been an incredible journey. At times, it's like, what did I do? But
What have I gotten myself into? Has that crossed your mind a time or two?
Yes. The pandemic was probably not the best time to be switching jobs and changing things and trying to work out on how to do things. But I'm very glad I've moved here. I moved into Mexico in November. I've got my own home here. And it's been a wonderful experience. And I keep looking forward. It's not without its challenges, but we will get over that. And I'm hoping to lead the district into into the area of sustainability and growth and make sure that we're able to meet the needs of our community.
So if we take the pandemic off the table, what has been the most challenging aspect since you've been at Audrain?
The most challenging part is for a lot of things, just like everyone else, is budget. And trying to work out how do we sustain and how do we make sure that our revenue and our expenditures meet. We look at what we have, what we need to have in place, and it continues to be, things just keep going up. And, we start looking at things. And so we're trying to work out how to control costs and how to maintain or increase revenue so that we can provide the services that we're currently providing.
So if that's the most challenging part, then what's your favorite part of the job?
Well, actually, I've got back on the track from time to time. And it was one of the things that when I wasn't on an ambulance for a long period of time, it was the hardest thing to do, to move away from patient care, which is why most of us get into the business. We like helping people. We work very closely. You develop the relationships with a patient. You take care of them. You take them to the hospital. You're going to get your frequent patients at times, and you develop that thing. So you see them, and you're talking with them as you help them with their moment of crisis. And I did miss that. So getting on the truck, my skills are a little rusty, but I'm working on that. But getting on the truck and meeting the members of the community. I also did some of the fun things I did was with the mass vaccination events. I would be there in the observation area and just talking to the residents and the members of our community that the Amulets District and the healthcare system as a whole serve. It was great to have a conversation with them and to hear what their thoughts were about our district and how we were meeting their needs.
Graham, what's one of the biggest challenges facing emergency healthcare in rural Missouri?
One of the biggest problems is going to be staffing. As we go through that, as we look, they talk about the rural hospitals closing. That creates longer distances. That creates a greater need for us and being able to keep up the same level of service for the 911 calls. The fact that we have paramedics and EMTs that are leaving the industry because of retirement or burnout. The fatigue factor that comes into play, it's long hours. Most EMS are working more than one job. So they're spending a lot of time away from their families. And that comes a real big challenge. And as we move forward, it's like, how do we maintain the services that we have, expand? Because when I first started, EMS was a lot simpler than it is today. We have vents on our trucks. We do 12 leads. We do a lot more complicated stuff, and we're able to identify and select appropriate destinations for more complex calls and things like that and take care of these patients. That requires a lot more training and a higher level, but the pay scale hasn't necessarily reflected that. And when you turn around and see that fast food restaurants are pushing to start $14, $15 an hour starting pay, well, that's my starting pay for a paramedic.
Right.
And so trying to draw those people in. And we're competing with the larger cities. So we're competing with St. Louis, St. Charles, to try to draw paramedics out to our way. We've got a great bunch of people. We don't have a lot of turnover, which is really wonderful. They are working very well. But as we look to the future, getting more of those medics coming in is going to do that. And trying to do that while keeping costs down and keeping control of things. You know, there's a lot of things that go on, go into that. As I look to the future, we may see mergers between districts and things like trying to get better economies of scales. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime or not, but looking at ways to fund and to provide. We're looking also, community paramedicine is becoming a big thing, but one of the big factors for that is how does it get paid? We traditionally have been paid for transport, but there's recognition within the insurance industry and Medicare and things like that, that it's more cost efficient for them to pay for a paramedic to take care of a patient on scene rather than take care of them on scene and then transport them to the emergency room, which is a very expensive way to get care. And we have been traditionally only paid for transport. So as they look and they work that out, we may see more and more where we do telehealth, we're communicating with doctors, we're providing care and leaving people at home more and trying to keep them out of the healthcare system as we move forward. There's a lot of changes and exciting things that can happen, but one of the big factors is how does this get paid? How does this get able to do so we can sustain our services?
How can that be, especially the telehealth aspect, is that something that legislative members need to get involved with? Or
a lot of it is right at this point in time, Medicare is doing some pilot projects. I can't remember the name of the program, where they're looking at certain services to provide care in place is how they describe it. And if they see that, I believe when they see the savings, it is going to flow across. With COVID, they started to do some of those factors, and there has been some specific funding made available for specific COVID situations where you left them at home, we're still going to pay you. That hasn't come across all the way. I think as the industry looks and crunches their numbers, they will start to see that this is a very, very good. Paramedics are a lot more educated and trained, and so are EMTs. I mean, EMTs don't do quite as much as the paramedics, but I can assure you they can do a very good patient assessment. They know exactly what's going on. They may not necessarily have the skill set to take care of that immediately, but on our ambulances, there's always at least one paramedic, a paramedic EMT most of the time.
Graham, what would you like listeners to know about Audrain Ambulance District?
Audrain Ambulance District has a bunch of wonderful EMTs and paramedics who are very caring and who are very committed to our community that we serve. And we are going to work extremely hard to provide the quality services that you expect and to treat you with dignity and help you in that emergency, get you to the closest appropriate facility. I'm hoping that Noble Health is going, with their expanded services, going to be able to provide more of those services. I know they're working very hard to identify what services the community wants, and as they're able to open that, they've done a lot already. And some of that doesn't necessarily respond down to emergency care with their clinics and things like that. But eventually those things will happen, and we will start to see that we are able to provide care closer to home rather than be transporting you further away.
Very nice. Graham, thanks for coming in and being a part of the show this morning, and happy anniversary. A little late, but June 1st was your one-year anniversary with Audrain Ambulance. We appreciate you being here, and welcome to Mexico. Maybe just a little late, but welcome to Mexico, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. We'll be back again next Saturday morning at 8 for Public Perspectives here on AM 1340 KXCO. Thank you.